lost at one point in our lives, separate from you, headed for a deserved judgment in eternal hell. And you told us about what you did for us before we even knew you, before we knew your name. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, to come here, become one of us, and take our punishment. Take all of the blame, all the guilt, all of the sin upon himself, that he might pay the price in full so we could go free. And Father, we praise you that that happened. That transaction took place, and now that offer of salvation is extended to all who will put their faith and trust in Christ. We praise you as redeemed people here this morning for what you have done for us. And we pray that in this hour, as we seek your face together, that your Spirit will move and work in our midst, that you will fill us with your Spirit, and that we will hear your word clearly as you proclaim it to us. Help us to strengthen one another in our common faith as we sing these songs and pray together and fellowship afterwards. And we praise you for bringing our brother Rob Zapotosky to us today, that to share with us from the scriptures and from the work that you are doing in and through him. We pray that it will be a great time of fellowship and encouragement as we hear what's going on in your work in the mission field. And Father, we just praise you again for the privilege to be here together. Thank you for our church, and I pray for your blessing on each heart here today. May we each receive the blessing that you have for us. And we commit this hour to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's go. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to be in your house again on this Lord's Day. It's so good to be together with your people. And we do pray for Rob Zapotosky as he comes to give his presentation about the mission work and all that he's involved in and all the others that are working together with him. And then to preach. We pray that your word would speak to our hearts and that we might truly be drawn closer to you, that you would work in our lives and help us, our Father, to do whatever we can to bring honor and glory to your holy name. We do pray for those that are sick this morning. We think especially of Kathy Nichols. Pray that you'll strengthen her and others that may be still having problems with the COVID. We pray that you'll undertake for them and meet their needs as well. We think of little Rowan. We do pray for him as he has this fractured skull. We pray that that will heal well and that he might not have any repercussions from it. We pray also for Sue Norsini, that you'll continue to bless her. Thank you that she's doing some better. And pray your holy will be accomplished in her life. We just commit it all into your hands, our Father, and pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Clyde, it wasn't that I didn't have an opportunity to go and to serve, but there was a second or a third outbreak over there in Eastern Europe, so they encouraged me not to come. So I would be just ready to buy a ticket, and then a day or two before, they would say, Rob, it's come again. It's best that you don't come. You can come if you want to, but it's going to be very difficult for you to minister with us. So I said, okay, I will wait.
This war is finished. And they said, Robin, it's freedom, or maybe God will take us. And so I might not see any of these men or women if the war gets more serious. So please pray. It's a very hard and emotional time for many people. And pray that God will just bring honor and glory to his Son through the churches and through these workers that are working. Thank you.
Okay, and now I'd just like to share a little bit from the Bible. If you would turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And so I could have done that if she wanted. Thank you. So I'm grateful to the Lord that a course in college or seminary, and I couldn't be there for 9 months, so we had to consolidate this course. So it had to be 40 to 50 hours that they received the knowledge. And so I would like to give all that knowledge to you from the Gospel of Mark. Now, of course, we would be here for 2, 3, 4 hours if I would do that. I'm only joking. For you who are saying, no way, I'm going to fall asleep, I leave right now. I'm not. But God is good, and I want to share with you from the Gospel of Mark, because sometimes the Gospel of Mark is forgotten or has a less significance when we study the Gospels, because we think that Matthew and Luke have all of the information that is in the Gospel of Mark. And so as I did my devotions and studied the Gospel of Mark once again, I realized how important the Gospel of Mark is. And for you who have some Bible training, and if you who have studied, and now with going online, we can study even more. The Gospel of Mark was the first gospel. Now, some believe it was Matthew, but as we have studied, why would Matthew have condensed all of these stories? And Mark came and elongated or strengthened these stories with more details. It doesn't make sense. And so many of our scholars or universities, seminaries, Bible colleges, now almost all believe that the Gospel of Mark is the first gospel. So you have to understand that Mark is the first one that wrote this document with this word gospel. What is the gospel? We understand that. I don't need to share that with you. You know what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins, that he rose again so that we could live the Christian life. But Mark is the first one to share this in written form. Very, very interesting, isn't it? Because they realized, of course, God the Holy Spirit was nudging them or impressing them to write these documents or these epistles because they were going to die. And you know what happens with verbal or oral communication. It kind of deteriorates, doesn't it? And you know, in colleges or schools, they always do this project where they tell something to someone and they pass it on to somebody else and they pass it on to somebody else, and then that 14th or 15th person shares what was said, and it has nothing to do with what was actually said. You know that. And so that was happening during this time. For 10 or 20 years, the disciples, the apostles, all of the believers were sharing these stories with one another. God the Holy Spirit realized that all of those people were going to die. And so there had to be written documents. And it's interesting that Mark is the one that's chosen. Mark, who some consider a failure. Mark, who was given a second chance and showed himself to be faithful and true to the Lord, because he was young and we make mistakes, right? And God doesn't put us on the shelf. He wants us to utilize our gifts for him. And so Mark was given the privilege of writing the first gospel. And if we read chapter 1, verse 1, do you see what it says? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So immediately he tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. This phrase he will use 7 times in his gospel. Son of man he will use 14 times. It's very interesting, if you can, sometimes try to read a book or an epistle without thinking of the chapters or verses, because you have to remember they were not there. They came in the 15th and 17th centuries. So people who read these documents read it completely through. They had to sit and spend some time in reading. And then those men who preached, they took a portion just like our pastors now and preached or shared. But the whole unit or Gospel of Mark, if you can read it all in one sitting, it gives you a better understanding of what Mark was trying to express. And he was trying to show that Jesus is the gospel, and he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. The last part, he talks about Son of Man from chapter 11 to chapter 16, 14 times. Because what is going to happen to the Son of Man, that perfect person? He's got to be sacrificed. He has to die. He has to be given for the sins of the world. And so Mark gives us these two ideas, and he tells us that this is the gospel. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, read together. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee. Look at what it says. Preaching the gospel of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus was expressing and explaining to them what the gospel was. Why he came to present the gospel. And of course you have to understand the gospel we know means good news. So this is a new idea for the synagogues, for the Jewish people, for those who understand the Old Testament. Now God is going to fulfill all of his prophecies and Jesus is going to become Christ, the Anointed One, Messiah, because that's what Christ means. And so we see that this idea of the gospel now needs to be preached. Verse 38. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else in the towns thereby, in order that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for. This is why Jesus came. And so you see in the beginning, he's talking about the gospel. If we turn to chapter 8, verse 35, where it says the word gospel. Chapter 10, verse 29. Chapter 13, verse 10. Chapter 14, verse 9. And then finally, the last chapter, chapter 16, verse 15. I think we all know that verse. Many of you here are mature. I see physically, and I hope many of you are mature spiritually also. But Mark 16, 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you see? Chapter 1, gospel. Chapter 16, gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. So you see why those people in Ukraine, in Poland, in Belarus, why they're trying to preach the gospel through this time. It is a fantastic time, even though it's a terrible time. It's a fantastic time to show the gospel and the peace of God. And it's very interesting, we won't cover this section because it's already 5 minutes after 12, if you give me 5 or 10 more minutes. But the good news is called the word in the Gospel of Mark. Write that down and I'm going to give you the verses if you're writing or think about this. John was not the first one to talk about the word. Mark tells us that the good news is called the word. He gives us this word in chapter 2, verse 2. We can go there, because this is where it starts. And they were gathered together so that there were no one from even near the door, and they were speaking back to them, the word to them. And then in chapter 4, Mark gives us one major parable and then three others. He does not share all of those parables that Matthew and Luke share with us. But what is the parable that he is the first one that shares with us? It's a parable about the sower and the four souls, yes? And what is it talking about? Distributing or sharing out. So you see in chapter 4, verse 14, it says word. Verse 15 of chapter 4, verse 16, verse 18, verse 19, and verse 20 of chapter 4. 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20 says the word. Isn't that interesting? Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Mark chapter 4, verse 33. And by such parables, Matthew will share others, he spoke the word to them. Chapter 4, verse 33. Isn't that interesting? Mark centers in on the word because Jesus is the word. The gospel, the word, is Jesus Christ and what he is saying and what he is going to do. And of course, remember that Jesus had to fight against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. Why? Because they were making the word of God useless, of no effect, in vain. We have all of these different interpretations of that one word. But Jesus had to explain to them that he was going to die. Chapter 8, verse 32. Let's go to that verse. Chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" And of course, some said Jeremiah, some said another prophet, some said John the Baptist, but Peter said, "You are the Son of God. You are Christ. You are the Messiah." And then it says that Peter took him aside and wanted to rebuke him because he said, "I'm going to have to die. They're going to come, they're going to take me, and they're going to crucify me." And do you see what it says there? It says that he spoke this word to them openly. That's what the Greek says. Some of the new translations take that away, but the Greek has the word logos, word, there. That's why sometimes the King James is the better translation. But some of the translations also are good. Read the Bible. I was saved from the Douay version. That's another message. That's the Catholic Bible. I was saved by reading the Douay version. So get the Bible in people's hands. Any version. So we see that the gospel must be preached to all nations. Mark chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but will not pass away." Word, my words, isn't that interesting? Gospel and word, all through the gospel of Mark. And then Jesus says again, and of course he told the disciples to go and preach the gospel. And Matthew, Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the last verses. I personally believe that the last section of Mark, if it was not specifically written by Mark, it was dictated by Mark. Because it follows the pattern of gospel and word. Do you see what verse 20 says? And they preach, just like Jesus, everywhere. He told them to preach. And look what it says. While the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Do you see the word word? Do you see the word preached? Gospel in verse 15. Chapter 1, chapter 16. This is all a nucleus. This is all what the Gospel of Mark is talking about. So, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do. We need to share the Gospel when God gives an opportunity. Don't force it. He will give the Holy Spirit, if you are governed and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will give you opportunities at the gas station, at the grocery store, with your neighbors, with your relatives, with your family, with somebody walking on the street. When I printed those things on Saturday, just yesterday I printed them, because I was making a different presentation for my communication manager. She's speaking at her church in New Jersey to a large congregation that has given us a lot of funds. And so I had to specify it for her. But when I was printing that in Connecticut, I didn't go to the regular place that I usually go to. I printed 46 pages. And that usually costs, with my little discount, because I go there regularly, about $60, $65. The young girl was having some problems with it. Her computer broke down, and then she tried again. She had to print them one by one instead of collecting them all, downloading them, and then just highlighting them all. She tried. And what was very interesting is when she got them all done, I had to put them all in order because she had to do each one by, you know, separately. And I said, "Thank you so much for doing this." And then I, you know, said, "Here is my, you know, my discount card." And she said, no, it's okay. It's free of charge." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, it's free of charge. You just go." Do you see how amazing the Lord is? Because she was looking at what those colored prints were and that it was from Ukraine. And so she said, "It's just free of charge. Go ahead." Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? He sends us to the right places at the right time. And I said to her, "Thank you so much. because you know we're doing a great work there in trying to help them with humanitarian aid, but we're also trying to give them peace. And peace can only come through God. So I was able just to share a little witness. It was natural. It automatically happened. I didn't have to force it. I didn't have to tell her, look, I'm interpreting. I didn't have to do that. This is how God works. So what does it mean to share the gospel? What is it that we need to do? And these are the three points that I'm going to just quickly share with you in a few more minutes. These are the three points of the Gospel of Mark. You write them down in the verses. We can't go through all of the verses. But the first is, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what we want people to do. I believe and I hope that you've already come to Jesus. Because that's the first step, yes? To come and to repent before Him, to acknowledge that we are sinners, give that sin to Him, because He died on the cross for us, and then we have the Holy Spirit so that we can live for Him the rest of our lives. Come to Jesus. Here are the verses. Chapter 1, verse 45. Chapter 1, verse 45. But He went home and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopular areas. Listen to this phrase. Only Mark shares it with us. And they were coming to Him from everywhere. They came to Him. Chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 27. Jairus came to Him. The woman with the issue of blood came to Him. Chapter 7, verse 26. All of these stories say that the person came to Jesus. Do you see why Mark shares this? When we don't have all of these chapters and verses, we see people are coming to Jesus because that's what He wants. Come to Jesus. Second point, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I think you already know about this. We have Peter and Andrew, James and John in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 20. He said, come and follow me, and they followed Him. Chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 7. And then look at chapter 6, verse 1 with me. Chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from there, and he came into his town, and his disciples followed Him. They didn't just follow Him one time. They repented. And then they didn't go back home and just do whatever they wanted to. No, they kept following Him for 3 years. And we need to keep following Him when we're children, if we repent, if we're young and married, or if we're old, if we're in our 70s or 80s. We don't stop following Him. We keep following Him and we keep asking Him to help us. We keep praying to Him. We keep asking Him to show us His will because we are His children. We follow Him. This is very sad. I think you know some people that when they were young, when they were married and had children, they followed Jesus. But then when they got older or when the children went off to college, they stopped following. Why? What happened? Was your coming to Jesus really genuine if you stopped following? Because we follow until God takes us home to glory. And finally, bring others to Jesus. Bring others to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Bring others to Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 32. Chapter 1, verse 32. As the evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to Him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. Do you see what's happening in the war? God is actually bringing people to the churches. The churches don't even have to do it. They're bringing them. And they have an opportunity to now share the gospel It's wonderful what God's doing. Just yesterday, I got a picture of the loaves of bread. There were hundreds of them. And while I got it, my worker said, Rob, we've put a track, a Christian track, in every one of those loaves of bread. So whatever village they go to, whatever soldier gets this bread, they're going to read about Jesus. This is what's important. Chapter 2, verse 3. Do you remember the four men? They came, one of the points, because they were already following Jesus, the paralytic, carried by four. Isn't that interesting? They came and they brought, because they knew Jesus could not only heal him, but save him. Chapter 7, verse 32. This is a story that's all in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 7, verse 32. Here is somebody who is deaf and has a hard time speaking. And what do the people do? Verse 32. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they entreated him, asked him to lay his hand on him. Isn't that interesting? Only Mark gives us that story. They brought someone to Jesus. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 22. This story is only in the Gospel of Mark. Mark has one parable that's not in the other Gospels, and these two stories, and a lot of details. This story, chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. This is also the Gospel of Mark. And look at what verse 22 says. This is a blind man. And he came to Bethsaida, and he brought a blind man to him and asked him to touch him. Isn't that interesting? People came to Jesus. They followed Jesus, and then what did they do? They brought others to Jesus. This is why we're here still. This is why God did not give us the wonderful opportunity of being translated like Enoch or Elijah and go right up to heaven. No, He wants us here. Why? Because He wants us to tell others to come to Jesus. He wants us to tell others to keep following Jesus. Because we are to bring others to Jesus. This is the gospel. This is the good news. It doesn't matter if the church has 500 people or just 5 people. God gives us opportunities in every area we are. And we have to change with the times. We're not wearing the same clothing. We're not using the same phones. We're not driving the same vehicles. Thank the Lord we don't have the horse and buggy anymore. Sometimes we wish because of the price of gas now, yes. But this is what God wants us to do in every generation, in every city, in every country. Come to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Bring others to Jesus. You saw that family that went to Poland. Yes, Slavik and his wife. On February 24th, she was pregnant. And so on February 23rd, it was the 24th there, 23rd at night, about 1 or 2 in the morning, it would be 9 o'clock there, their time, I said to Slavik, what's going on with Ilka? Because you told me she's ready to have a baby about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Did she have the baby? Why haven't you told me? I've been praying. What's going on? He said, Rob, I want to let you know right now, we just heard some bombing in Lviv, and my wife is ready to have the baby. I'm taking her to the hospital now. That night, when the war started, she had her baby. And there were many complications. Because of stress, because of the situation, she delivered, but the child was immediately taken to intensive care. He could not breathe. So they immediately had to put the child on a ventilator. Ida had a small operation, which was successful, but the little boy was in ICU. And so they said to me, Rob, please pray. And so you have to understand, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, I'm not only getting phone calls and photos and text messages from our other 11 missionaries, but I'm praying specifically for Ida and Slavic, and whoever wrote to me, whoever called me, whoever emailed me on the 24th and the 25th, I gave them that information to pray. So someone from Florida, from Michigan, from Pennsylvania, from Ohio, from all different states, whoever at that time, I said, please, can you just pray for Slavic and Ida? Ida just had a baby boy, and it does not look good. And the doctor is not giving any information. And so after 2 days, we prayed, and Slavic writes to me, and he says, Rob, we're in a bomb shelter now. We're waiting for the sirens to stop. It was below. It was underneath the hospital. But we're going to go see our little boy because, thank the Lord, he's been taken off of the ventilator. He still has the tubes in his nose, and they still have to watch him 24/7. But thank everybody who prayed, because we now have a little bit of relief. Our boy is not going to die. At least we don't think he's going to die. So keep praying. And then the next day, he writes again. And he says, Rob, we're with our boy right now. They've taken the tubes out of his nose, and they taking him out of ICU. He will now just be in a regular room. So again, thank the people, because now our boy is going to be our boy. God is allowing us to have this young child, our fourth child. And then 3 days later, he wrote to me and said, I'm taking my little boy and my wife home. They live about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Lviv up in Bratislava. I'm taking them to where my mom and dad live, and her mom and dad live about another hour away in a village. But I'm taking them there, and then I'll come back to Lviv to help the seminary. But I want to thank you so much and thank all those others, and I just wanted to share with you this important story. Rob, when I talked with the doctors before they released my boy, they said to me, Yaroslav, Slavic is a nickname, we don't understand why your boy healed so quickly. There are 20 other families in ICU that the children are in critical condition. So we would just like to say that this was like a miracle to you. And Slavic said to them, yes, doctors, can I just tell you that we are believers in God. We have repented of our sins. We've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And not only people here in Ukraine, but people in the whole world, especially in America, were praying for my boy, that God would give him back to us, that he would be healed. If he didn't, we would take that as the Lord's will, but we're so happy that God healed our boy. And doctor, please, can you give me an opportunity to share with those 20 families that are now in ICU with their children? Can I please go and talk with them and pray with them? And the doctor said, yes, you can go and talk to them. So he was able to go before he left into the ICU and spend an hour, 2 hours with all of those families and tell them about the love of God. What do you think he named the child? I'm going to give you a hint. It means God with us. What is God with us? Emmanuel. Isn't that amazing? The doctor saw this boy called Emmanuel, God with us, be healed. Isn't that a great testimony? Thank you so much for giving me extra time and sharing. I will be going on June 2nd, so if you could remember to pray for me until the 22nd of June. I will be there ministering with the missionaries and then seeing how Slavic Missionary can help. If you know anybody or if you would like to give, just go on to the webpage, smsinternational.org. You can give through PayPal, or if you'd like to send a check, we have been giving, like I've said, funds each week. We still have plenty of funds. We're going to give them until we don't have any left, and then we're praying that God will continue to give us so that when the war is finished, we'll be able to help the churches to rebuild. Thank you so much for the time.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
It's wonderful to see what is being done to help these people and that God is moving. All right, we're going to go to lunch at O'Grady's, don't forget. And if you'd like, come along and we'll have a good time together. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all your wonderful grace and mercy to us. We thank you for this presentation and speaking of all these people, dear Lord, and the way you have moved and worked and helped in so many ways in all of this that's going on over there. Even this family he mentioned, this missionary that had the opportunity to encourage and help and present the gospel to these people there in the ICU. And we thank you, Lord, for healing his son. We do pray, our Father, for Rob as he'll be going back over to Europe and speaking with the missionaries there and encouraging and helping them. We know it's a very difficult situation. We pray for Ukraine especially and all that's going on there. We do pray that many, many more might come to know Christ through the efforts of your children. Lord, help us all to be faithful, to take to heart the message that we heard and to take the gospel to those that we come in contact with. Thank you so much for all your love to us. We pray that you'll guide and help us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, he's got the material back there.